Lord some praise all over the house of God tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here in Dallas and Christ Unveiled. I am so honored for this opportunity to be here, and I honor Pastor Lincoln and his wife and this church for having me. My first time here, man, and I'm telling you, I've been looking forward to this for a while. I've looked up to your pastor for a while, and had the privilege of fellowshipping with him today, and it just adds to me. So I'm claiming him as my pastor too. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. I need a pastor and somebody to, you know, feed me the word of God as well. And I'm just grateful for the privilege to be here. Go ahead and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And just bear with me. We'll read somewhat of a lengthy text, jumping in verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 17. It says, "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold, and the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of the place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the same place, the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up. Notice the Lord changes what he said the first time, and now he tells David not to go up. It's very deceptive to depend on flesh, amen? And it's something that all of us have done at some point in our lives. We get comfortable and we feel God's going to do the same thing every time. But you can't do God like that. You can't trap God into a box and think he's going to do the exact same thing every time. This text teaches us to depend on the Lord, and it teaches us to inquire of the Lord with every decision. It may seem small, but it's a big deal. And what I, you know, am learning in my walk with God is don't do anything without the leading of the Lord. Amen? He went up and he inquired of the Lord again, and the Lord told him not to go up. And verse 24 is the text. He says, let it be when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then you shall bestir yourself. In other words, get ready, prepare yourself, for then shall the Lord go out before you to smite the host of the Philistines. And I'll stop the reading there. And I'll minister tonight just a few moments on this subject, the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. The sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for this service. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, this church, the leadership here. Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we just ask you once again to help us, anoint us to preach, anoint us to teach, anoint us to minister your word, Lord, that no violence will be done to your word or to your spirit or to your people, but that we will only speak that which is sound doctrine, that which will edify and glorify you, Lord. And we ask it all tonight in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. When we follow Jesus Christ, if you notice the text, the Bible says that people had now made David king over all of Israel. And when you read the Old Testament as a poor type, but a type he is, David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a type of the Lord who goes out before us. He's our conqueror. And those of us in this room tonight, when you got saved, you accepted the rule of Jesus Christ. We, I should say, accepted the rule of Jesus Christ in our lives. And when we accepted him, you are literally a target for the enemy. The devil wants to destroy you. There's nobody who's special. I don't care if you're a preacher or whatever the case may be, or whatever the calling may be. When you accept Jesus Christ, there's going to be attacks from the enemy. And the enemy is always trying to get us to look away from Christ. He always wants to draw us away from Christ. If you go and look in the New Testament when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he went off a little distance from his disciples and he encouraged them to watch with him and to tarry with him and to pray with him. He said, because the enemy is coming. He says, you got to be careful because something is coming that's going to try to distract you and pull you away from Jesus. Everything that the enemy throws at us, he is designing these attacks to pull our faith from Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Because the devil knows that that is the place of victory. He knows that that is the only safe haven for the believer is in the person and work of Christ. So as you read the text tonight, you see the Philistines heard that now Israel is finally obeying God and they have anointed David king of all of Israel. And that is a place where the devil was mad because the church, if we can call it that at that particular time, they had now found a place of unity. How many of you know the devil hates unity in the church? He doesn't want the believers to be on one accord. He doesn't want the church to be on one accord. And I want to say this as we open this message tonight, and I promise you, I won't be before you long. But one of the most dangerous places that a believer can be is out of God. One of the most dangerous moves that you and I can make as believers is to move without the leading of God. One of the most dangerous steps that you can take is taking a step without the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. But one of the most dangerous steps that you can take, the most dangerous step, is to take a step out of the will of God when you haven't heard from God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, Moses told the Lord, he says, Lord, I don't want to go up without your presence. In other words, if you're going to send me, I can't go if you don't go with me. And if you read, Jehoshaphat told Ahab, he said, listen, we're going to go up, but I'm not moving until I have inquired of the Lord. And that has to be the determination of every born-again believer. You will hear a lot of good ideas in this life, but if they're not God ideas, you better wait until you hear from God. Because some things may sound good. It may sound like more money. It may sound like a better career. It may sound like a good opportunity, a good relationship. But and people may hype it up and tell you it's the best thing going. You and I have a responsibility to wait and to pray and to say, I'm not doing anything until I have inquired of the Lord. I'm not moving until God speaks. I'm not going until God tells me to go. Because the good news in that is this, if I know the Lord is going before me, I'm guaranteed the victory. So that's the guarantee you and I have. If God goes before us, we're going to be victorious in whatever place God puts us. God may tell you to relocate your family and move in the middle of Timbuktu. But if he puts you there and if he's there with you, it may just be you and 10 other people. You have the victory and you ought to have joy because God is there with you. He didn't tell us to understand everything that he does. Or to try to figure out everything that he does, but we must follow him. I can tell you, on a personal level that, you know, I'm sure I could pass the microphone around and most of us can say, I made some emotional decisions. I made some decisions that seemed like the right thing at the moment and they backfired. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, it felt good in the moment. I feel like this is what I ought to do. And that's why it's important to sit with God. It's important to inquire of God. It's important to wait on God. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, the Bible says that he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He spent a little time in the wilderness, and then when he came out of the wilderness, the Bible says he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of the things and the places that we go, they're not going to be comfortable places. They're not going to be places that feel good. God's not trying to make us necessarily feel good. He wants his will to be done in our lives. And when the will of God is done, it's a beautiful thing in the body of Christ because we're in step with the Spirit of God. Paul told the church of Galatia, if you read chapter 5, verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit. But by the time you get down in the latter part of chapter 5, he says to walk and live in the Spirit. And the Greek word there changes. It actually speaks of a military term to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. In other words, wherever the Spirit leads, that's where I want to be. The old saints used to sing a song, where he leads me, I will follow. And that has to be the testimony of the child of God. I'm going to tell you, David is the king. And David is depending on God. He is the most powerful man in the world. And he has an opportunity here to go against the enemies of God, the Philistines. They were enemies of David. You know, they got history with David because David had lied to them. David had humiliated them when David was out of the will of God. And now David is in the will of God, and David is following God, and God, he prays and says, okay, the Philistines are coming, what should I do? And God says, you ought to go up against them, and I guarantee you, you'll have the victory. And case closed. Well, the Bible says that the enemy came back. How many of you know that the devil is always going to come back? When you have victory today, he's going to come back tomorrow with something new. He's going to come back the next day with something new. The enemy always has some plot or ploy that he wants to attack the child of God with. But this is the beauty of being saved, is that we have the protection of God. Can you think about that for just a moment? The Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. When you're in Christ, you're in the majority. It can be you against 10 million people. You're still in the majority because God is on your side. I want you to know tonight that the church is not outnumbered. I know there's a lot of perversion around us and there's a lot of wickedness around us, a lot of evil agendas around us, and it would seem like the church is in trouble. But Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. And saints, if hell can't stop us, no government system, no politician, nothing that the enemy raises up can stop the blood-bought, blood-washed church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to give God praise if you're in Christ tonight. I'm in the family. You may not have a degree, but you're in the family. You may not be, I'm not educated. I don't have a plaque on the wall. I don't have a doctorate degree, but I'm in the family of God. I don't have anything to boast about, but I'm in the family of God. That's the beauty of it. David has now seen victory over the Philistines. Or if you're bougie, you say Philistines. I don't know how y'all. We Southern folk, we just say Philistines. He's gotten victory over them. The Bible says that David smote them and said, the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies. And now the enemy comes back, and David could have done what the children of Israel did in the book of Joshua. You remember when they had conquered Jericho, and now they go against this little place called Ai. And they say, you know, we had the victory. We're not going to even pray. We're not even going to take our whole army. We're just going to go out before them, and they got whipped. The reason they got whipped is because they didn't have God's approval. And the reason we go through some of the things, you know, I know we blame the devil for everything, but everything is not an attack. Some things were just disobedience. Sometimes we get involved with things, and sometimes it just wasn't the will of God. Come on, somebody. You knew that man wasn't no good when you met him. Come on, somebody. Or you knew the woman or the job. It just seemed good. But what I love about God is God doesn't just see what we see. We see the bottom line and the paycheck that may come in the next 2 to 4 weeks, but God knows that the job will shut down in 6 months and you won't have employment. Sometimes God will tell you to take less money because he has a plan to elevate you in his timing. It's vital that we follow him. God spoke to me. And you know, told me to walk away from my job. And you know, when you got a good job, you don't want to walk away. To do evangelism, to preach with 20 members and no income, no money coming in, no nothing. And so I bargained with God. I said, all right, if you do this, I'll leave. If you fill my schedule up with meetings, I'll leave. God said, no, leave and trust me. That's how God works. I walked in the company that I was working for at the time, and I had my resignation letter. And you know, I want to tell y'all a deep sanctified story that I walked in that bowl with my chest. I didn't. I trembled all the way in there. Because I kept asking, Lord, you sure? I'm walking in there with the letter just shaking, and I put it on the table, and I hold on to it for that. My coworkers are saying, man, you crazy. You won't find a better job than this. You're making X amount of dollars. You can't find a better job. I said, but I know God spoke to me. I was on a plane going somewhere, and the Lord spoke to me and said, fill your horn with oil and go. I said, I cannot go. And he kept speaking to me. He kept dealing with me about it. And he kept pouring into me. And finally, I turned in the resignation letter. I had no books. I had no meetings on the books. No money. This is a true story. I walked out of that building that day. On my way home, I got a call from a pastor. Said, we need you to come preach a revival for us. The next day, somebody who I didn't even talk to wrote out a check and paid my bills for the next 3 months. See, when God tells you to move, God's got something in store for you, and you just got to wait on him. It's important to wait. It's vital that we wait. And so David had to wait this time. God said, don't go. But we just beat them. They're nothing for us. He says, don't go. But here's what I want you to do, David. I want you to wait for the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. So this means that after David prayed, I want you to get this, David had to be quiet and listen. Sometimes when we pray, I was talking to Pastor early, and the Lord, just sharing with him, the Lord's really been dealing with me in the area of prayer and in the area of just seeking his face. When you seek God's face, you're seeking him. Sometimes we bombard heaven and we treat God like, you know, God, give me this and give me a house and give me a car and give me a wife, give me a husband and give me this. So when you really are beginning to pray and have a prayer life, your prayer life changes to just worshiping God, telling him how great he is and how wonderful he is. It's so much that he's done, and we just worship him for who he is and what he's done. And he says, while you're doing that, make supplication. What does that mean? In other words, make a request to him. It's like a kid. If you got a kid, you know when your child wants something. I got one girl, and she knows how to, you know, compliment. My youngest son is the same way, just knows, Daddy, you sure look sharp today. I know he wants something. Or I don't have to ask him to clean the kitchen. He just starts doing it on his own. I said, okay, something's up. So what's going on? Oh, nothing. And about 30 minutes later, you got any money? But it's something about it. If you're honest as a parent, your child can make you feel good. And they know how to get you and just make you feel like you're the best thing. I listen to my son, and he's telling his friends, you're not stronger than my dad, and I'm feeling proud, man. And now I'm ready to give him whatever he wants. Now, I'm not saying we're going to manipulate God, so don't take this the wrong way. But what I am saying is God loves for his children to tell him how great he is. He loves for his children to just want to be in his presence. Sometimes, look, when you spend time with your parents or your family, people think it's always about spending money. Sometimes it's just about presence. You shouldn't have to spend money to enjoy each other. Sometimes we ought to shut the TV off and just get everything away from us and just enjoy each other's company. And that's what God wants from us. Sometimes you don't need to ask him for anything. Just shut everything down and tell God how great he is. And then he says, while you're telling me how great I am, then you can ask me for something. Father, you're worthy. I just love you and I adore you. You've done so many great things. There's none like you in all the earth. And by the way, I need a car. Come on, somebody. Feels good when, you know, you got that person that calls you sometime and you hadn't heard from them in 6 months. And I know us, my folks, when somebody starts scratching their head, they're about to ask you for something. Like, man, you got about $40. Hey, you ain't called me all year. It would feel better if you called me sometime just to check on me and see how I'm doing. I feel better about giving you the money. And that's what, and I want you, because, and obviously you guys know this, oftentimes in church now, we are being taught this, you know, word of faith type theology to where whatever I want, I can have it. All I got to do is speak it and just name it and claim it, and I can have it. That's not how God works. What God is doing is just as vital as the timing of what he's doing. So sometimes he has a certain will for you to have certain things, but then his timing is just as important. Sometimes God will say yes and not yet. Think about waiting like that. Yeah, this is for you, but it's not time yet. Because he knows how I'm going to act if I get it today. David waited. He inquired, and then he got silent. I promise you I'm going to close here in just a few moments. He prayed. Sometimes in prayer, you ought to worship and adore, and then sometimes you ought to just sit with the Father and wait on him, wait for him. And there's nothing more beautiful than knowing that you have the mind of God. There's nothing more comforting than a believer knowing that they have the mind of God in a situation. And when you have the mind of God, this is when it gets to the text. And David says, when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, see, you've waited. But after you wait and after God speaks, don't delay. He says, get up and go now, because they didn't come up the same way they had come before. The Philistines had now gone in the same place and had the same trap. But God says, I know the plans of the devil for you, but I got something better for you. I know how the devil is coming at your life. That's why you got to listen to me, because we don't know all of what the enemy is going to do. But we know our God is a great protector, and he can lead us around the trap. He can lead us through the trap. He can lead us over the trap. And the comforting thing is, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide where? Under the shadow of the Almighty God. He says he can protect you from every trap. He can hide you in his holy pavilion. And then when he speaks, David and his men are standing there quiet. Now, there are a lot of theologians who've said a lot of things. Some say that God magnified the sound and it sounded like footsteps on the trees and the leaves, the angels running across.
I want to believe that. That's the part that sounds good to me, that God created a sound that confused the enemy. And now the men of God are sitting there, and I'm going to read this, and I'm going to get out of your way. He says, let it be when you hear the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees that you shall bestir or rouse yourself. Get ready, for then shall the Lord go before you to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from that place. And this is, as I close, when he tells us what to do, it guarantees us that we're going to have the victory when we do it. But here's the thing I want you to know. It's not going to make sense to other people. What God says, typically, if it doesn't make sense to anybody else but you, it's probably God. Because I can assure you, leaving my job made sense to nobody. But it made sense to God, and it made sense to me because I knew I had heard from God. And as I was talking to Pastor Lincoln earlier and just looking at what God has done and hearing about how God did it, it may not make sense to other people, but when you follow the Lord, success is guaranteed. Victory is guaranteed. And then the good thing about it, as we as believers, we can know this, that as we walk through this life, we'll hit things and we'll get knocked around sometimes, and we'll sometimes even stumble. But the comforting thing is this: the Lord will never walk out on you. The man we're reading about spent about 16 months out of the will of God, acted a fool. But here's what the Bible says. Even when David was out of the will of God, it still says, when he inquired of the Lord heard him and the Lord answered him. Saints, his ear is open to the cries of the righteous. And sometimes your prayer is just an old God. Anybody ever been hurting and you couldn't get words out, but all you could do is, well, maybe you hadn't gone through a trial yet. But when you have one of those prayers where all you can do is weep and say, God, help me. God has a way of interpreting and knowing all of what that prayer actually means. And a lot of times he was just waiting on you to inquire of him so he could tell you, like he told David, go after them. You'll overtake them, and without fail, you'll recover all. Because anytime the Lord goes before us, saints, we're going to have the victory. Would you stand to your feet tonight all over the house of God? Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Wait on the sound, saints. But they're laughing at me. Don't move until you hear the sound. But they're making fun of me. Don't move until you know the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. But when he speaks, you move. And you'll move with joy. You'll move with praise. And you'll move with victory, because you know the King of Kings and the one who's conquered all is gone before you and has already won the victory 2,000 years ago. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. We thank you so much, Father. We give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Amen. 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 The Lord says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. No matter what journey we are on, trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our paths. Amen. We want to thank Brother Torrence Nash for being with us tonight. He will be with us tomorrow morning as well, too. That's correct, right? That's correct. He will be with us tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. service. So please come on out. If you haven't had a chance to give tonight, we ask that you do so to support the ministry. And wow, thank you, Lord, for that word. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap, please, please. In Jesus' name. That was confirmation. That was a confirming word for many of us. Thank you, Father. Well, take that word home. Let the Lord water that seed. Be blessed. Love on one another as we leave and depart from here, and we'll see you in the morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.